All right, morning. Just a little bit more to finish up that last parak, and then we're going to start the last parak. We are right now in the back end of the 11th parak of Chulin, and just a touch more to go. Yeah. We're right now in the bottom of Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Okay. You sell something and you retain a little bit of that which you sold. Your Mishayer. So the assertion is that when you're Mishayer, so what you retain is still the obligation of whatever obligation there may be. Meaning, we're discussing in the context of Rishis Hagez, the shearings. Meaning, we're talking about somebody who sells his fleece. He sheared five animals. And he still, let's assume that he sheared the requisite amount that's necessary to be Mechayev, to be obligated in giving the Kohen Rishis Hagez. And he sold 59 slime, and he kept one seller for himself. The assumption is that the seller did not sell the part that he was supposed to give to the Kohen, that he retained by himself. Why not? He wants to do the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez, and he sold the other 59. That's the assumption that we made. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. The Gemara now wants to know, let's find another Mishnah in Shas that supports this position. So we learned yesterday a Mishnah in Peah, the third parak of Peah. The Gemara says, not so good. So, right, it had some issues with it. So let's learn another Mishnah. So we go right into it. Amar Rava, Haitanu Didan. We learned from the following Mishnah. Amar Lamecholi B'nei Me'ah Shopara. Sell me the B'nei Me'ah, the intestines of the cow. Zu V'haya B'hen Matanos Notin L'Kohuna V'in Menachalam Menadamim. Lakach Mimena B'mishka Notin L'Kohuna Menachalam Menadamim. Okay, what we learned in the previous parak is that I buy intestines from a butcher. So if he sells me all the intestines, and he does not sell to me by weight, he sells it to me just simply here. Here's the insides of an animal, and I'm selling it to you for whatever the cost is, $100. So now when I buy the keva from him, I'm not buying the keva from him. It wasn't his to sell to me. Mm-hmm. That's part of the matnas kahuna. He needed to give it to a kohen, so he gave it to a kohen. I give it to the kohen, and I can't go back to the butcher, and I can't demand a refund. If I, however, buy it by the pound, so then I go back to him and I buy it by the and I get a refund. Alma matnas kahuna lamazabin inish. So what do you see over here? You see they're not for sale, meaning that the default position is that the matnas kahuna are not part of the sale. And I know that because in the second case of the Mishnah, when I bought it by the pound, I go back to the butcher and I say, okay, let me have a refund. I demand a refund from him because we're going to assume in that transaction, he didn't sell me the keva. So, lo mezaben inish hachanami, manos tekun lo mezaben inish, hokach shayer hamocher, hamocher chayev, da amar le lokeach, because this is the argument that he doesn't actually have to make the argument, but this is the built-in argument whenever you have somebody selling the fleece and leaves a little by him. Matana to going gabach, he, right? You're the one who is supposed to give it. You're the one who retained it for yourself. I'm going to assume that if you retained any of the fleece for yourself, it was yours. I'm sorry, lo shir, lo keir chayev. Da amalei mocher matana to going lo zavni lach. If, however, he sold them everything, so then now here's the argument that the seller makes to the buyer. Seller says to the buyer, look, I sold you everything. Now, I didn't sell you the matnas kahuna, meaning I gave it to you, but that wasn't part of the sale. And so consequently, if that's not part of the sale, you have to now give it.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Let's say that somebody has the sheep and he does a shearing. Right? Mm-hmm. He gets all the wool off.
Right.
And then he sells the entire pack of sheep along with all the wool to somebody new. Now, the person who's purchasing it, is he obligated to give it? Because it wasn't his and he didn't share it. He's just acquiring it.
Right.
A separate thing.
So if he got the, in other words, but he was sold both
right.
the fleece and the actual sheep itself.
Right.
See, but the problem is that once the seller sheared it, so then the obligation, but the obligation started.
So the question is, who is it upon?
So right, so that's exactly what the Gemara here is pretty much dealing with.
Does the obligation travel with the shearing?
If he kept any of the fleece for himself, so then we assume that he kept.
No. He didn't keep anything.
Buyer.
But the thing is that at the time that the animal was sheared, it wasn't his. He didn't do the shearing. Mm-hmm. The seller did the shear.
But that's exactly but the case always. Here.
No, this is different. This is
no,
this is,
the butcher
this is you're looking from the perspective of a
right.
seller who retained. So the assumption is that he retained it to give it.
All right, so let's table the discussion. Okay, we'll come back. Hadron lach reishis hagez. Okay, that is the end of the 11th perek of Chulin. We start the final perek of Chulin. So I told you now, the way that works is that each perek is its own self-contained unit. Perhaps one of the more exciting perekim in Chulin is coming upon us right now. And that's the mitzvah Shiluach HaKen. The mitzvah Shiluach HaKen is unique in the Torah. The Mishnah and Megillah warns us. Don't think that we're doing this mitzvah out of Rachmanis. Right? Or don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us this mitzvah because of Rachmanis. Right? You have a chad, right? The Mishnah Megillah says, you have a shliach tzibur up there, and he says, Akan tzipur yagiu rachamecha. Just like you're merciful over the birds, I want you to be merciful on us. So yeah, you know what you do with that shliach tzibur. First of all, you don't pay him. The Mishnah doesn't actually say that. And the...
You
remove him. He gets removed as a shliach tzibur. No longer serving as a shliach tzibur. We have a mitzvah in the Torah of chasing away the mother bird. Now, let's get the psukim.
So we don't do that at Rachmanis?
Here we go. Ki kare kan tzipur lefanecha baderech. If you find a nest in front of you, b'chol eitz o al haaretz, either in the tree or on the ground, efrochim oveitzim. Now, what the mother's sitting on could be eggs, or could be, I'm sorry, chicks, or could be eggs. Va'im rovetzes ala afrochim ala abeitzim, and mom is sitting on them. Lo sikacha im ala banim, don't take the mother on the birds. Shalech se shalech es ha'im, send away the mother bird. Ves abanim tikach lach, keep the kids for yourself. L'man yitav lach v'arach te'yamim. It'll be good for you, and you'll live a long life. Okay, one of the few mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah puts the schar, puts the reward for doing this mitzvah right in front of you. A lot of issues to discuss over here. Let's start the Mishnah. Shiluach HaKan Noeg Ba'aretz V'Chutz Aretz B'fnei Abayis V'Shlo B'fnei Abayis. This mitzvah is not connected to the land of Israel. This mitzvah is not connected to the Beis HaMikdash. It applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it applies with or without the Beis HaMikdash, meaning even during the Zman that there is no Beis HaMikdash. B'chulin Aval Lo B'Mukdash, and it applies by Chulin. It doesn't apply by Hekdesh. Okay, as Gemara, it's so funny. Every time the Mishnah says it doesn't apply by Hekdesh, we definitely struggle to figure out what's the case. The Gemara later on was going to discuss what exactly is the case of Hekdesh. Okay, we'll come back to that. Chomer b'kisui adam shiluach hakan. We're going to compare two mitzvos, the mitzvah of kisui adam, the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. Kisui adam, because it applies to birds. Shiluach hakan obviously only applies to birds. Kisui adam noeg b'chaya v'ofa b'mezun v'shein b'mezuman. The mitzvah kisui adam applies to both wild animals and birds. Mezuman ain't a mezuman, whether you own the animal or whether you don't own the animal. Meaning you find a wild animal out in the forest. Looks good, looks tasty. So you shech the animal. Okay? You still have the mitzvah of kisui hadam. However, uvishiluach hakan ain't no agela ba'of. So number one, it only applies by a bird. There's no mitzvah of shiluach hakan when it comes to animals. That's number one. Number two, ain't no agela b'she'ino mezuman. Here's what makes this particular mitzvah so unique. In that, it has to be happenstance. It has to be that you come across a bird. If you have a bird in your backyard, if you have a bird nest in your backyard, that's not going to be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only when ki kare, when it just happens to when it happens to be. Or what the Mishnah refers to as enu mizuman, not prepared.
What about your neighbors?
Okay, we'll talk about different scenarios in which... Right, it's okay. We're going to go over a number of different scenarios.
Ki kare ends with a hour.
Yeah.
So does that mean by happenstance?
No, you're right. In other words, you're right. It's in the pasuk, it's with an aleph. Usually, mikra meaning happenstance is with a hey. That's correct. B'shena mezuman, ezu shena mezuman kagon. So the Mishnah here starts with examples. If zimvatan golan shikanu bepardes, you have geese and chickens that set up a nest in an orchard. I guess it's a place where they don't normally set up nests.
Where they would.
Rashi over here in explaining the Mishnah says, Shemardu v'yatsum in abayis, v'ein choseres abayis. They rebelled. We're going to talk a lot about rebelling birds. Okay, get ready. We're going to use that term a lot. So Vinasu Midbariosu Pardes Lav Mizumanhushi Cholam Him Levroach. Now what Pardes, right, what makes Pardes a situation made a Mizuman is that the bird can fly away anytime they want. I'm finishing up Rashi. She cholim him levorach aval im babayis kananu pater. If they set up nest in their house, that's a situation of they are now controlled, contained, and therefore there's no mitzvah of shiluch haken. Aval kananu babayis v'chein yone hardasios pater mishiluach. If they set up nest in the house, or yone hardasios, right? Hordas doves, Herodian doves. Right? They are domesticated. Rashi just simply says they are trained. Darkum ligadol im b'nei Adam, and therefore they're going to be pater. Okay? They are trained birds. Of tamei pater malashaleach. Now, what if the bird's not kosher? So there's also an exemption. No mitzvah. Of tamei rovitz al beitze of tahor, v'tar rovitz al beitze of tamei pater malashaleach. What if you have a kosher bird on a non-kosher egg or chick? What if you have non-kosher bird sitting on kosher bird or chick? So the Mishnah says pater. Okay? No, you did not fulfill the mitzvah. There is no mitzvah, I should say. Korei zachar. You have a type of bird, it's called the korei zachar. Okay? It's a non-kosher bird. Okay? Or some have in Rashi, kosher bird. Okay? It's a type of bird. Rabbi Elazar mechai v'chacham in potrim. The Gemara will discuss what exactly is a machlokus over here at the end of the Mishnah. All right. First off, Rabbi Avin Rav Mesha. We have two Amorayim. Chana mar kol hecha denam ba'aretz v'chutz ha'aretz shelo l'tzarech levar mireishis ha'gez. La'afugim et Rav Elai. Damar reishis ha'gez einan o'el gela ba'aretz. Okay. We have six prakim in Chulin. This will be a great review. Six prakim in Chulin, where the opening of the parak is, it applies in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, in the Bistam, in the Mikdash, and when there is no Bistam Mikdash. And those six prakim are, now I'm going to tell you my cheat over here. It's not a cheat, but it's the first Rashi of the Gemara. Those six prakim are Kisu Hadam. Let's see if I could do this. Kisu Hadam is the sixth parak of Chulin. Oso Vesperno is the fifth parak of Chulin. Gid Hanasha is the seventh parak of Chulin. Zor L'chaim is the tenth parak of Chulin. Reishis Hagez is the 11th, and Shluch HaKan is the 12th. Okay, so six of the 12 parakim in Chulin all start with this opening of Ba'aretz V'chutz Aretz, Bifnei Abayis, Shlo Bifnei Abayis, and the Mishnah produces kind of like a sing-song, like a refrain in terms of how to learn these Mishnayos. Now, the point that the Gemara is about to make is, most of the time, it's not necessary. Meaning that the Mishnah has a certain tune to it, a certain pattern to it, and most of the time it's just simply there for the pattern, right? We find that. I know it's kind of interesting. In other words, we have one concept is that the Mishnah hates wasting words, right? If you're going to teach something to somebody, la olam yishana b'derech ktsara, like just keep it short and to the point, and then right, and sometimes the Mishnah doesn't even put in some of the points, correct? And here, it's kind of like the opposite, meaning here we know it's most of the time not necessary, it's not needed, but there's a certain pattern, there's a certain sing-song, so we just go with that pattern, even though it's not necessary. Okay, so and I do get it, that they kind of rub against each other, those two concepts.
Also, but again, they memorize.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Rabbi Goldstein, that was going to be my next point. Remember, everything here was committed to memory. So once it's committed to memory, if you can imagine, you know, singing this Mishnah again and again and again, and now you're in the Mishnayos in Chulin, and you basically have this refrain going on, so it's easier to commit to memory if there's a pattern. Okay, so that's basically the idea. So the first statement, Rashi points out, by the way, I'll paraphrase the rest of Rashi. Rashi points out that even though the Gemara opens up like there's about to be a machlokas amongst the Amorayim, there's not going to be a machlokas amongst the Amorayim. Meaning each one is making a separate point, and the two points are not necessarily connected, but have the same basic theme to it. Now we'll start off with the first point, which is that this idea of in Israel and outside of Israel, for all these halachas, Kisu Hadam, Osav Espino. Kisu Hadam, Osav Espino. So, Shiluach Haken, right? Reishis Hagez. Not Reishis Hagez. Let's keep that one out. Right. Five of the six of these prakim, you don't need the Mishnah to tell you in Israel and outside of Israel.
It's not land.
It's not land bound. It's not totally ba'aretz, and therefore most of the time I don't need it. And the only exception is Reishis Hagez. Because as we learned, Rav Eli says that Reishis Hagez only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. And you remember, Gemara that we did just a couple days ago says that we rely on that Rav Eli position. We live outside of Eretz Yisrael. We don't give Reishis Hagez. Wait, just one second. That's a great point. So we don't rely on that. And so consequently, what comes out is that we need the Mishnah to say ba'aretz v'chutz aretz, just to show us that we, the Mishnah, don't follow this position of Rav Eli. If you think it through, which Aaron is doing right now, you realize this creates a little bit of a problem with the Rashi that we learned just a couple of days ago, where Rashi says it's true for Reishis Hagez that only applies in Israel, and it's also true for Matanos. Matanos also only applies in Israel. Right, Zor L'chai V'keva only applies in Israel, according to Rav Eli, and we rely on that position as well. That's what Rashi says. Again, one of the justifications of why nowadays, Bezman is there, we don't give matanos. Based on what we're learning in the Gemara right now, it doesn't seem that way. Because the Gemara says that the only perek that we need, Ba'aretz V'chutz Aretz, is only for one perek. The Gemara says it straight out, for the Reishis Hagez perek, because that's the only one where Rav Eli disagrees. Sounds like from our Gemara, it's a problem on Rashi. And I don't know how to defend Rashi. But it sounds like from our Gemara that this is the only time that Rav Eli would disagree. And
Rav Eli also disagreed with the shoulder and the tongue thing.
What, that applies? Gemara says that or Rashi said that?
No. He himself, Rav Eli, disagreed. He was a Tana that disagreed. He was just a reason of selling.
Even by the Matanos?
Yeah.
So then, in that case, you defended Rashi, and now I have a question on the Gemara.
He did.
I think you're right.
He actually, but we didn't focus on him, but he did.
But it says that the Rashi may have a different gear.
And the thing is that actually we were there. The commentators said we rely on Rabbi Eli for that, but
Rashi just didn't mention the Masonic.
But over there, he
okay. So I'll tell you what. Let's work it out. We'll research it. And let me go on in the meantime. We have a lot to cover. Okay, good. So and here's point number two. Point number two is that, again, in the Mishnah, it keeps going through the refrain of in the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Beis HaMikdash. Outside, by the way, means even in a time when there is no Beis HaMikdash. So most of the time, shalal tzarech, meaning it's not necessary. Right? Again, let's just take a look at any one of these mitzvahs mentioned in the Mishnayos. Matanos, kisu hadam. Of course it applies when there's no Beis HaMikdash. It's not even talking about an animal that's brought as a carbon. Okay. Oso Vespino also. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, except for Levad May, Oso Vespino. Except for Oso Vespino. Why? Because look where Oso Vespino is placed in Chumash. Where is it placed in Chumash? It's placed by Kachim. Right? Where Karbanos is discussed. In Parshas, where is it? Parshas Amor? Right, Osav Espino? Am I right? Okay, let's hope I am. Dekashim k'siv bizman de'ika kashim ninhog bizman. I'm sorry, ninhog. Bizman de'leka kashim lo ninhog. Kamash malan. So here's the havamina. I might have thought that Osav Espino, even though it applies to non-consecrated animals, but I might have thought that since contextually it's with the karbanos, so therefore it only applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash. Okay. And every time it says chulun u'mukdashin, it is l'tzarech. Lavan migid anasha. And the exception to that is gid anasha. Because pshita. Because think about it. By gid anasha, isn't it so obvious? Of course the gid anasha of a carbon is asr. Mishum de'iktish pakta le'isr gid anasha minei. What do you think? You think that I'm sanctifying an animal and now the isr of gid anasha just goes away? That's crazy. Meaning, I would never have even thought of that. So the comment of Bechulun of a Mukdashin is not necessary by Gid Anasha. Now, the Gemara says, now, do you remember? Now, I kind of remember. But do you remember back in the 7th Perek where the Gemara basically dealt with this very same issue and asked the question, why do I need Chulun Mukdashin? And do you remember the Gemara made the following suggestion? Maybe we're talking about a case where you are Makdish an animal in utero, or you are Makdish the mother, and the mother was pregnant, Now, how does the fetus develop? Remember, we had this discussion. First the bones are developing, then the sinews are developing. V'lav u'kibna b'vlad u'skashim u'may time u'kibna. Lav mishim d'kashalan lo n'lisne mikara. Mikara namelo tishalach. So the Gemara says, look, we came up with that whole funny case because we were also bothered over there. Why is it mentioned? So the Gemara says, I did the Tana L'Tzarech, Tana Namishal L'Tzarech. So the Gemara says, but now, based on our approach that we are presenting over here at the final parak of Chulin, we're basically going to say, you don't need to find such crazy ukimtas. Meaning, it could be that the Mishnah wrote it, and it could be unnecessarily. Shalol L'Tzarech. Isn't the Mishnah, quote-unquote, wasting words? No, because once we have developed pattern, the Mishnah's going to go through that developed pattern again and again, even if it's Shalol L'Tzarech. Okay. And here we go. Our Mishnah tells us that the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein applies to Chulin, but it doesn't apply to Hekdesh. Now keep this in mind as we're about to engage in this upcoming Gemara. When we say birds of Hekdesh, we could be meaning one of two things. Number one, we could be talking about a bird that you are Makdish as a Karban, Kedushas HaGuf. And that could be one avenue of discussion in terms of, am I obligating the mitzvah or am I not obligating the mitzvah? The other form of Kedusha is Kedushas Damim. Let's say it's a bird that's not qualified to be brought as a karban, which is, by the way, most of the birds. Meaning only two birds can be brought as a karban. The Bnei Yonah and the Tur. That's it. So let's say you're Makdish, a chicken. Or a goose. Those birds that you are Makdish don't have Kedushas Aguf, but rather they have Kedushas Damim. So when the Mishnah says, Bechulin Avalobe Mugdashin, it could be going in one of those two routes. Just keep that in mind as we're about to engage in the discussion. Now, the Gemara says, first of all, why are you pater? Why is there an exemption? It's very simple. Because the mitzvah only applies when you have an opportunity to send away the mother bird. The Torah says, shalech to shalech, meaning just send it away. Okay, yeah, we'll talk later on. What if it comes back? Okay, that'll be the next Mishnah and the next discussion. But right now, just focus on the mitzvah. Send it away. So, El Avila De, I'm sorry. And here, the bird that's Mukdash, the bird that's sanctified, you're not allowed to send it away. It's Hekdesh. That means you have a responsibility to grab it and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Bring it to the Gizbar. It says Gizbar over here. It sounds like we're talking about Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas Aguf. But either way, I'm Ravina Hilka Choftar Shaharuk is a nefesh patum mishuluch. So Ravina says, if that's the rationale, so we can extend this to another scenario as well. Let's say you have killer bird. Okay, killer bird. Bird that killed a human. Okay, you know the halacha? Any animal that kills a human is subject to a death penalty. Okay, with a basin of 23, mind you. Okay, slightly odd, but that's the halacha. It's a capital crime. It's a capital crime, capital punishment. I end it right. I always, in my mind, it humors me when I think about the animal standing trial in front of the basin of 23, right? How's the defense actually, you know, going to go?
The defense are animals, too, so it's really in trouble.
And this halacha applies not only, as the Torah describes in the case of Shur HaNiskal, but right, the ox that gores and kills somebody. But the truth of the matter is, the Gemara and Baba Kama teaches us, Sanhedrin, I should say, that this is true by any animal that kills. So you have killer bird. And again, we have to assume that we know it's killer bird. It's distinctive in that we know it's killer bird.
But tell me if it has an owner. If it has no owner, then it doesn't go through.
Okay, whether it does or it doesn't, in this particular scenario, is going to be irrelevant because the point is like this. According to Ravina, you don't have, let's say this killer bird is sitting on eggs. Mm-hmm. Ah, mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. So Ravina says, no, no mitzvah. Why not? Because again, it's the same rationale, right? Because you have now an obligation to grab it and bring it to Beis Din. So, Hilkach, three lines from the bottom. Of Tahor Shah Ragas and Nefesh, Patam and Shiluach, my time and Damakar, Shalech to Shalech Esaim. Misha Tamit Suvel Shacho, Yasuzeshi Tamit Suvel Shacho. Ella Lahavio Le Beis Din. Now, hey, Chidam, the Gemara says, now, what happened over here? Can we be a little more specific? The Gemara's not going to ask that question. Though. That's a great question. E de Gemara dine bar ketalahu. In other words, if there's a Gemara din, so at that point it needs to be executed. And there's, as we talked about in Sanhedrin, there's very little appeal process, and there's even fewer appeal processes for the bird. So, bar ketalahu.
He wants a new lawyer.
Ella Gamar. There is, by the way, there is a small appeal process in capital crime. Sixth parak of Sanhedrin, right, where the Gemara over there talks about how, right, at the last minute, if, you know, somebody comes up with new evidence, correct, and the flags, and, okay, good, but you're right, but very little in terms of birds. So, bar ketalahu, ella delo gamar dine. So the Gemara says, okay, so the trial started, and, oh, you'll forgive me. And then they would become a free bird, meaning that in the middle of the trial, so he escaped. He's a bird. He could do that. So Ella Delo Gamardine Uvailas Ula Beidin Vikiume Bay Uvi Arta Harami Kerbecha. So now you have an obligation to take that bird. You see that bird? You agree, right? Because the picture of the bird, of course, is, you know, all over town.
Dangerous,
right? correct. With the you know, artist sketches of the bird and what? He's in the middle of trial. Okay, ubay lasula be din vakim be aviatar abi kerbechav. Good. Okay, hani mukdash and hechidami. Okay, now with all that stated, good. So the halacha of it doesn't apply. The mitzvah shiluch hakan doesn't apply to mehekdesh. But the Gemara says, can we be more specific now? Hani Mikdash and Hechidami. Elam and the Havalei Khan Besoch Beso, the Akdashang. So let's imagine. How are you Makdash this bird? So let's start off with the simple case. It's in your house. The nest is in your house, and you are Makdash and you sanctify the nest. When we say Makdash the nest, we mean the birds contained in the nest, and that's what you are Makdash. There's not going to be a mitzvah Shiluach HaKen. One of the most basic rules of Shiluach HaKen is it's. So it has to be eino mezuman. It has to be a scenario where, right, it happenstance. If it's in your house and you own it, that's certainly mezuman. So ilema dehavale kan betoch beisav akdashe mimechai mikikar kan tzipor prala mezuman. Ela dechaza kan ba'alma ba'akdashe. So the Gemara says, okay, you're walking down the street and you see a nest and you say, okay, I'm makdash that nest. But you can't do that. Umi kadosh ish ki yakdish es beso kodesh amarachmana ma beso bereshuso avkol bereshuso. Being makdish something is nothing more than transaction. You can only make a transaction on something that you own. You cannot transact with anything that does not belong to you. And the same thing is true with hektish. So if you just find the bird out in the street, right, in a random nest. Out in the middle, you can't be makdish. Ella de agbinu lefrochim v'akdishin v'hadar hadrinu. So the Gemara says. So what would be the scenario? So maybe it would go like this: you pick up the chicks, you make a kinyan on the chicks, you put them back in the nest, and you take mom and you throw mom right back on the chick. Okay, good. That would be a scenario where the Torah now has to tell us it's hektish. You can't do it. The Gemara says, look, if we did that case in a case where it was all chulin, you wouldn't be obligated. In fact, the Tana, we learned in the Mishnah, right? Tanan, the Mishnah coming up. If you took the children and you put them back. So in other words, you blew it. You have an opportunity to blow the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. So if you take the chicks and you put them back, you'll be potter. So essentially now what the Gemara is saying is, same story over here. Ella de agba la'em va'akdisha v'hadra. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe this. Maybe you picked up mom. You picked up the mother. You were makdish the mother. And you placed the mother back. Mi'ikari ichayv le'bishiluch mikame de'akdisha. So the Gemara says, no. Meaning because you were obligated in the mitzvah before you were makdish it. The Tanya of Yochem and Yosef Omer, Hikdish chayev achakach shachta patam lachas, shachta v'achakach hikdisha, chayev lachas, lachas, shekvar nizchay v'kisru shiavol lidei hektish. So the Gemara says, but if there's a mitzvah of shiluach, being makdish it is not going to remove the mitzvah. Once the mitzvah is in place, the mitzvah is in place. So once again now, we're struggling. Where is that case where the Torah has to go out of its way to tell us, well, if you are mocked, right, if it's hektish, it's going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. Okay, so here we go now. We need a teretz for our Mishnah. Rav versus Shmuel. Rav amar b'makdish peros, shovcho umardu. So Rav says like this. You had a nest in your house. You were makdishit. And they rebelled. Again, we're back to our rebellious birds. Okay, and they rebelled. Meaning that they ran away. Okay, so in other words, now the birds went wild, even after you were makdishit. Ushmuel amar b'makdish tarnagalos olabedek habayis. And Shmuel says that you were makdish a tarnagolas, meaning not a kedusha saguf bird, not a carbon bird, but a bird that's going to be used for bedek habayis. Okay. Those are going to be our two suggestions. Technical points over here, Rashi says that when Rav says makdish peiro shovcho, the fruit, what does that mean, the fruit? Meaning fruit over here obviously does not mean fruit. Fruit over here means the young chicks. Right, gozo shavchal mizbech lolos nadav avarchaka chishagalo so peros mardu v'yatzo v'kanu b'makom acher. They ran away and they found nests somewhere else. The mikaraki aktishina didei havu when you originally were makdishot they were yours v'chal hektish alayu v'hashta damatzan la mizumanu. And now that you found them and you found them in the state of wild, he have a chul have a mechayev where if they were chul they would be chayev. And now the Torah is telling us because they're hektish now you're putter. The high did not cut peros, technical point of Rashi, and the fact that they're called peros, below Amar Makdish Shovcho Atzmo Mishum, the Yonim Einam Ru'uyim Ela Kishem Ketanim. Because remember, the Yonah is only fit as a carbon, as a young bird. Rav Lamar Lamilsa Ela B'Kachim Mizbech, because Rav is talking about Kachim Mizbech. Okay, technical point, an explanation as to why we're using terms like peros. Now, basically, Rav is establishing the case as a case of Kedushas Aguf. Shmuel is establishing the case as Kedushas Damim. Bishlama Shmuel lo amar karab de kamukim le bikasha bedek habayis. Look, Shmuel's easy to understand. Because for Shmuel, it's kasha bedek habayis. El Rav, my time lo amar kashmuel. Why didn't Rav like Shmuel's explanation? Look, Rav says, when you invest something with Kedushas Aguf, remember, it's a basic difference between Kedushas Aguf versus Kedushas Damim. Kedushas Aguf has intrinsic Kedusha. The Kedusha doesn't go away. Kedushas Damim, it's only sanctified for its value. The Kedusha goes away. Now, usually, how does the Kedusha go away with Kedushas Damim? Something called pidyon, right? Money, meaning you redeem the kedusha. But let me tell you this: Rav now says to Shmuel, "Ava b'matish tarnegasol abedek habayis. The lav kachim is bech. The kedusha is damim ba'amahu. Right? You have now your chicken that you are makdish, and now what? And now it runs away. Can I tell you? Rav says to Shmuel, what's going to happen now with that kedusha? The kedusha goes away. Kaven demarda." You see, Shmuel, your case is not a good case. Because once that chicken runs away from you, so does the Kedusha. It only has Kedusha's Damim. And so that Kedusha just simply goes away as well. And so therefore now, in the wild, you know what that bird is? It's a regular bird. And therefore you're going to be chayv in the midst of Shiluach. This is the underlying conversation between Rav and Shmuel.
Oh, because what you have to do at that point is you take that value and you're obligated to
owe it.
We'll get to whether you owe it or not in just a moment. We'll talk about the personal liability.
If you look at it from the perspective of a third party who's not involved in the case, let's say you have the bird and you makdish it, right? And the bird flies away.
Right.
Now, somebody comes across in a forest and finds that bird.
Okay.
That person can actually do the shiloh again with the bird because there's no simon that this bird belongs to anybody.
We're having a more abstract discussion in which we're going to assume that he knows that it was the bird. Meaning, you're right. Practically speaking,
I think that you could extend that to the owner also. Once the bird leaves the owner's domain, then it's a free-for-all, meaning that anybody can claim the bird because there's no distinction that this bird was...
Right now, let's keep the conversation just... I know it's not practical, but just keep it to the point where we assume we know which bird it is. And we know that it's the bird that you were makdish. So Rav says it's a bird for a carbon, and you were makdish it with the Kedushas Aguf. And Shmuel says, no, it was Kedushas Damim. And Rav says to Shmuel, listen to what you're saying. Because what you're saying is that once that bird runs away, it's still kadosh. And Rav is saying, but that's not true. Your fundamental point is not true. When the bird runs away, the Kedusha goes away.
Why?
No. Okay, good.
Yeah, okay.
Ushmuel Amar, Kol Hecha de Isa, Bebegaz de Rechmane Isa, Dechsiv La Hashem Haaretz Umalawa. And here's what Shmuel disagrees with. Such a fundamental disagreement. Shmuel says, I disagree with you, Rav. Meaning, I fundamentally disagree with you. When that bird runs away, that bird still has Kedushas Damim. Because based on Mikdash's ownership, let's say the Gizbar, the same thing. The Gizbar's ownership of that bird is unequivocal. It's unconditional. That bird doesn't have to be on your possession to have Kedusha. Because that bird is not right now yours. All you are is a custodian. That's all you are. But the owner of that bird is the Gizbar, is the Beis HaMikdash. And so wherever that bird goes, it still is property of the Gizbar. Shmuel says to Rav, let me ask you a simple question. Where did the Kedusha go?
Onto the person, and if it ran away, right?
If it ran away, the Kedusha is still there.
So he would have
to buy another. The pasuk, it's interesting. He quotes the pasuk, "Lashem ha'aretz malawav," meaning, right? It's lost, but it's still under Hashem's domain. Hashem ha'aretz malawav.
But the thing is that do human beings recognize that? Can a human being walking off the street recognize that this thing is belongs to Gizbar?
Right. You're going back to your practical point, which I'm not arguing with you.
Too scientific.
Right. No, you're.
It's a question of there has to be some kind of distinction that you can make in terms of you can look at the bird and say this belongs. How would anybody know this belongs to a
special bird?
Right.
Nowadays, yeah.
Right. So essentially now, listen to this. You'll forgive me, please. But you're too pragmatic about this whole issue. We're just, in other words, essentially what's going on over here. Let's understand this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav is essentially saying that when something runs away from you, it's no longer yours. Right? Listen carefully. This is really the machlokas going on. Rav says if something runs away from you, it's no longer yours. It's now hefker.
And if you run across, you have to do a mitzvah.
Tosos says, you know what, according to Rav, you know what's going to happen? Let's say somebody else finds this bird. It's hit. He can keep it.
Right.
Look at the top Tosos on the page. Here's what we can learn from here. Like, take home lesson. Meaning, just regular birds. Shemardu bebaalehem. They rebelled against their owner. I love the terminology, the right? Staged the rebellion.
They did not want to be eaten.
V'halchu lahen havei hefker. It also says it's no longer owned by anybody. V'amachtik behem zacha dahahacha haynu taima kevin damardu havei hefker v'chayav es b'shiluach. You see that in our discussion, because once it becomes hefker, now is you have the mitzvah of shiluach. Correct, because it shows that it's no longer owned. It's eino mizuman. What an interesting discussion. And Shmuel's counter-argument is, no, because it didn't, this bird belonged to the Gizbar, meaning Beis HaMikdash, meaning Hashem. La Hashem ha'aretz maloa. Even when it runs away from you, but it's still under property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, the personal liability is a great point, and the Gemara is going to come to in just a moment. But right now, it's not yet the discussion, only because we're not focusing on the person, the owner. We're focusing right now on the bird. On the bird. Hashem ha'aretz maloa. V'chein amar Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara says, and this debate is not just between Rav and Shmuel, it's the same debate's taking place in Israel, between the Amoraim of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. V'chein amar Rav Yochanan, b'makdash tanagosa lebedek habayis, amar da amar leh. Hashem ha'malakish v'kemish amar da pakalek dushosa. So Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, wait, I don't understand. Right? It's like an echo in the Eretz Yisrael Bavel discussion. Right? Kevin Shemar, the Pakalik Dushasa. I understand. Once the bird stages rebellion, once the bird runs away, that's it, the Kedusha goes away. Amrlei, Bevegazat the Rachmani, you say. So Rav Yochanan explains to his brother in Reish Lakish, what do you mean? What do you mean it goes away? It doesn't leave the domain of Hashem. Dechsev Lashem Ha'aretz Malawa. Now, Rami de Rav Yochanan, Rami de Reish Lakish Rami de Reish Shimon ben Lakish, Ad de Reb Shimon ben Lakish, de Itmar. The Gemara says, I'll point out for you that seems to be Rav Yochanan's contradicting himself. And it seems to be that Reish Lakish is contradicting himself. De Itmar, Manazala Betakabais, Vinignavu Onevdu. You point to a mana, a coin, right? 25 salaim. We're like mana experts after the previous parak. There is a mana that's 40 salaim. Okay, but only one. The Anol Shas. Okay, so 25 salaim, 100 dinarim. So you have a mana that, and you say, mana zela bedek habayis. This mana is going to go to the bedek habayis. You make a pledge, but more than a pledge though. Right? You actually point to it and you say, right, this mana, and then it's stolen or it's lost. Rav Yochanan Amar Chabachriyosam Ashir Voli De Gizbar. Rav Yochanan says you're on the hook, personal liability. Reish Lakish Amar Klayecha Deisa BeBeGazu DeRachmani. You say Nichtiv LaShem Aretz Meloah, and listen to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says no, because it's still there. Somewhere. It's out there somewhere. You don't know where it is, but it's out there. Somebody's holding on to it right now, and there's a new custodian. Now, the new custodian may happen to be a thief. Okay? it may be the case. No, I'm being serious, right? Nignava, one of the cases is it was stolen. Okay, so the new custodian may happen to be a thief. Who knows? May make a great story in terms of him becoming a total Baal Tshuva. You know, has the mana in his hand, and he knows it was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, you can make a nice story out of this. But right now, as we're learning Gemara, right, the nice story is a nice story. But we're interested right now in, I understand, Reish Lakish, weren't you the guy just a moment ago who said that, you know, Paka Kedushasa, the Kedusha goes away. And here you're saying it belongs to Hashem. And Rav Yochanan, you also, right, you're the one who says it always belongs to Hashem, and here you're given the argument of you got it, personal liability. So kasha de Reish Lakish, de Reish Lakish, kasha de Rav Yochanan, de Rav Yochanan. So de Reish Lakish, de Reish Lakish, lo kasha ami kamei de shamim Rav Yochanan Rabbi halabasa shamim Rav Yochanan Rabbi. So as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, any contradiction in Reish Lakish can be explained by, you're right. In other words, remember he started learning later in life, so sometimes he changed his tune, and so sometimes he argued one way, and then he argued another way, especially after he heard his brother-in-law, Reb Yochanan, say to him, no, I don't agree with you, this is a proper argument, and good. So, but Elad Reb Yochanan, Reb Yochanan Kasha, but the Reb Yochanan stira, that's difficult. So, the Reb Yochanan, Reb Yochanan Nam Lokasha, Hada Amar Alai, Hada Amar Harezu. Okay, so the Gemara says, in Reb Yochanan terminology, we're going to explain like this. If I say zeh, that means this object has kedusha, but I don't have any personal liability. If I say the word alai, then this has sanctity and I have personal liability. So the Gemara says, now what it sounds like, Reish Lakish, who argues with Rav Yochanan, sounds like he argues even when you say the word alai. But that can't be. The Hatanya, we learned in A, and here it's a Mishnah. Mishnah Megillah. Ezu neder, ezu nedava neder, ha-omer ha-re alai ola, nedava ha-omer ha-re zu ola, umabe neder le nedava, and what's the difference? Neder. Mesa onignava, o sha'avda, chai v'achriyusa. Nedava, mesa onignava, o sha'avda, ino chai v'achriyusa. The difference is, the Mishnah Megillah teaches us that with neder, personal liability. If something happens to it, you're on the hook. Nedava zeh, no personal liability. So, Reish Lakish will tell you all this is true when it comes to kachim mizbeach. Ava kachim bedek habayis alav mechusar krava. Afagav de amar alai lo mechayev. That is, but when it comes to bedek habayis, where there's no hakrava, you don't have to bring it as a karban. Even if you say the word alai, you're not going to be on the hook. The Hatanan, the Gemara says, but what about this?
This is what he used to think?
Yeah, I know.
Before he met with Rabbi Yochanan.
Yeah, in other words, the Gemara is now explaining to us.
What we're saying is it couldn't have even been what he used to think.
Correct.
Right.
I mean, that's a very good point. Meaning the Gemara right now this analysis is all on his, in the pre-change, in the original Machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So the Hatanan, the Gemara says, what about a Mishnah? Mishnah Erchin, how Mishur Zeh Ola Bais Zeh Karban Mesa Shor Nafal Abais and Chai Bachriusim. Shor Zeh Alai Ola Bais Zeh Alai Karban Mesa Shor Nafal Abais Chai Vlashalim. So the Gemara says, look at that. And there, Hani milayechad de meisah shor v'nafal habayis chayv l'shalim. The last new aval hechad the isnu kechol de isay bevegaz v'derechmane isay dechshiv l'ashem haratzol malawa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over there the house fell down. Over there the animal died. So over there the object is gone. So now you're on the hook. But over here, it's somewhere. You may not know where it is, but it's somewhere. And La Shema Arts Maloa. Okay. Amar Rav Hamanuna. Okay, the good. So now, again, let's just quickly review before we move on in the Gemara. Again, our Mishnah teaches us that there is a patur, an exemption of a kachim when it comes to a bird that was sanctified as Kodesh, as Hekdesh. Okay, what exactly is the case? So we're going to say now it's machlokis between Rav and Rav Yochanan, plus, bonus for today, machlokis between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And basically it's a parallel. Rav and Rav Yochanan say that it has to be talking about, Rav and Reish Lakish. Rav and Reish Lakish say that it has to be talking about a case where it is kache mizbeach. It can't be kache bedek habayis because once it runs away, it's hefker. It doesn't belong to Bedek Abayis anymore. And Shmuel and Rav Yochanan are of the opinion, no, that even when it runs away, even when it's moreid, even as a chicken, even though it doesn't have Kedusha as a goof, it's still going to belong to Hekdesh. Why? L'Hashem Ha'aretz Umalawa. Amar Rav Hamanuna. How come Modin Be'erchin Afagav Damar Alai, I'm sorry. How come Modin Be'erchin Afagav Damar Alai L'Mechayev? There's a parsha in Erchin, end of Bechukosai, end of Sefer Vayikra, and we're going to spend an entire Masechta learning about Erchin, where the whole Masechta, by the way, is not about Erchin, but a lot of the Masechta is about real estate. So the mitzvah of Erchin is where I say Erech Alai, my value, I'm going to dedicate to the Beis Hamikdash, or I can dedicate Ben's value. Now, what's my value? What's Ben's value? Okay, we'll put his over mine. But what is our value? So the Torah says in the world of Erech, so it's very standard. In other words, you look at your chart. It's based on age, it's based on gender. Okay? Now, if I make an Erech dedication, it's just like life. So if I make an Erech dedication, so Rav Hamanuna is arguing there's no possibility for it to be a personal liability. Why? My time at the limit malay below alai. Because there's no way to get the nether out without saying the word alai. Meaning just by virtue of the fact that you have to say the word alai just to get it out of your mouth.
That's a normal expression.
That's just a normal way you say
it.
No
matter how you
want to
do it.
Right. Heche lema erki. What can you say? You can just simply say erki. That only establishes whose value we're talking about. But who's going to give it now?
Yeah,
who's responsible to give it? That's the next word, which is going to be
Alai.
Aman, lema erech ploni. And what are you going to say? His erech? But again, you got to say the next word. And that next word's got to be Alai. So maskef la rava lema hareini be'erki. Hareini be'erech ploni. So Rava says, that's not true. I can figure it out. In other words, you want to know how to get out an erech without saying the word alai? You could say hareini be'erech. Or hareini be'erki. Ve'otanya, and furthermore, I'll show you a braisa. Avinasan es ha'erkecha b'yamahu kursh la'ashem ha'tamalama l'fi shemasina b'hekdesh v'matzot shemizchalan ama'o shebechulin. They can be deconsecrated. Nignevu sha'avdu enechaim v'achriyosan. Yachol af zeh. So I might have thought the same thing true as by Erech. Tamalomer v'nasan esa erkecha chulin achiavo lidei gizbar. You know what the story with Erechin is? It is chulin until you actually hand the money to the gizbar. At that point now, it converts to hekdesh. By the way, that's not the case. Most of the time, the money is hekdesh, and then you're just simply a custodian who is now responsible to give it to the gizbar. In the world of Erechin, it only transforms into hekdesh when you actually hand it over.
Because you know what? Until the last minute you handed, no,
something happened to you. Right. I mean, you can always make that argument, but in Erchin, We do make that argument. Chulin Achi Avoli De Gizbar. Alei Itma Hachi Itma Rav Hamanuna. So the Gemara says, you know what? Point is so well taken, but Rav Hamanuna is right. His conclusion is right. The argument, okay, we're going to change the argument, but the conclusion is right, which is Amar Rav Hamanuna. How come Odin Be'erchan Afag Avdalo Amar Alai Michayev Dechsev Nasan Aserkecha Chulin Him Biadcha Achi Avoli De Gizbar. And here's what he's right about, that it's going to be chulin until you give it to the gizbar. You know what that means in the world of erchin? That you're always going to be on the hook because it's your money until you hand it over. So if you lose, you know whose money you just lost? You lost your own money. And it's not the gizbar's money until you actually hand it to him. So he's right, you're always going to be on the hook, but not because it can't, it's not a linguistic issue. It's not a semantic issue. It's a simple issue of it's your money until you actually hand it to him. Okay, just a little bit more for today. Chomer b'kisui tan rabbanan. Okay, here it is. The main brisa, if I wouldn't know any better, I would say that comes right out of the Medrash Halacha. But this is the main brisa that darshins the pasuk. Ki kare kan sipor lefanechem. Ata malamar. Lefi shenemar shalech shalech ha'em v'esabanin tikach lach yachol yachzor baharim u'gvos kidishim sa kain. You might have thought, go out to the mountains, go out to the valleys, so that you find a nest. Tamalomri ki kare b'ma'ura. So, ki kare means you're just walking.
It happens.
Lifanecha, kain mikol makom. What if it's sitting only on one bird? Well, I'm sorry, on one chick, or on one egg. Okay? Doesn't have to be many birds, many chicks, many eggs. Even one's enough. Tzipor tahara v'lo tamea. You see what we're doing, by the way? We're just stopping at every word, and we're darshaning every word of the pasuk. Tzipor means kosher, not non-kosher. Oaf, says Rashi, and the Gemara later on will point this out as well. Oaf is a universal term, which includes kosher, non-kosher. Tzipor is only kosher. Lefanecha b'rishus ha-yachid. Even if it's a private domain. Baderech b'rishus ha-rabim. A public domain. Ilanos minayin tamalamer b'chol eitz. Even if in trees. Baruch shichin ma'aros minayin. What if you find a nest in a pit? So, this could be found in a private domain, in a public domain, on a tree, in a nest. So, why do we have the word baderech? It can't be something which you own. It has to be something which is public. If they nest in the house, v'chein yone hardesios, and if they're trained birds, domesticated birds, pater mishiloach. Okay. Point number one. Amar mar. Maderch shein kanu biadecha, afko shein kanu biadecha. Halam ali miki karein nafka. So the Gemara says, didn't we make the same point twice in this brisa, which is that it cannot be owned, it has to be happenstance. We learned it out from ki karei, and we learned it out from the pasuk of derech. The Gemara says, no. Ki kare prat lemezuman va'or lefanecha lamali alefanecha lasui shay lefanecha umardu. So the Gemara says that the lefanecha means like this. Let's say you own them and then they rebelled. The conclusion is you now have a new mitzvah of shiluach haken. A rebelling bird is now considered a free bird, a wild bird. Now baderech kedrav Rav Yehuda Amarav dam Rav Yehuda Amarav masa ken biyam chayv b'shiluach. What if you find it in the ocean, all right, an area that we have not covered? We covered a lot of areas. You're obligated. Shenemar karma Hashem nasem b'yam derech. Ela me'ata matzakem b'shamayim dechsev derech nesher b'shamayim. What about the airways? Right? Every time you go on a plane, you see the flight patterns of the airplanes. So what if you find a bird on that, quote-unquote, derech? The Gemara says, ha'chinami demechayev b'shluach haken. So the Gemara says, no, that's derech nesher. That's the eagle path.
Or vulture.
Right, or vulture. Meaning we don't walk that we don't walk down those paths. Right, where exactly is it situated? I mean, if it was on a mountaintop, so then that's a mountain. Yeah. I'm not really sure where we are right now. Well, yeah. Well, the ocean. You know, there's a nest in the ocean. So derech nesher ikre derech stamalo ikre. Okay. Amrei papanella rav matna matza kan barosha shadim. This is a great way to punctuate today's daf. What if you find a nest on your friend's head? Mahu. So what is the halacha? Meaning, is there now a mitzvah shiluach haken? So in other words, we pretty much covered everything. Yeah. On the ground, in a tree, Right on the right in the ocean. What about if it's on your friend's head? Amar the Adama al Rosho. Look at that. Adama al Rosho. And look at Rashi. Afa Pishaya Barosho lo Abda es Shema Shmamina Adam Gufe Adamahu. It's right, it's unbelievable. Play on words. Meaning we are Adama. We're Adam Adama. Yeah?
We're made from Adama.
We haven't lost the shame Adama. Wow, fascinating. Now, what a fantastic way to punctuate today's daf. Now that we know, now we saw Adam in Psukim, where do we find other personalities in Psukim? Moshe Minatar Minayim. Where do we find an allusion to Moshe? It's so funny, we're looking for an allusion for Moshe. There's an entire Torah dedicated to Moshe. But Bishigam Hu Basar. Bishigam Hu Basar. Right? Yeah, everyone see it? It's hard to see. Right? Where's the Moshe encrypted in that pasuk, Bishigam Hu Basar? Now, it's funny. I thought it's the fact that the pasuk here refers to 120 years, right, which was the lifespan of Moshe.
That's another clue.
You like that one, huh?
Yeah, that's another clue. Actually.
Okay. So, somebody says that?
Yeah. There's two clues. One is his name and his was how long is going to live.
Right. The Bishigam is Gematria of Moshe.
Oh.
That's another one. Right? The Beis Gimel. That's the hay. And then the Shin Mem is, of course, the Shin Mem of Moshe. All right, so Bishigam Ubasar. Haman min HaTorah Minayim. Where are you going to find Haman in the Torah? Hamina Eitz. Esther min HaTorah Minayim. Vanochi Haster Astir. Mordechai min HaTorah Minayim. Dechsiv. We have a Mordechai encryption. Mar Doror. That's part of the spices. And Umetargaminan. And if you know your Targum over there, Mere Dachia. Take those two words, put them together, and you get Mordechai. Okay, fantastic way to punctuate today's daf. Okay.